Friends, we've been asked to remind the friends that we have convention programs on the side table over here of upcoming conventions, Agawam, Waterbury, and New Brunswick. So please help yourself. They're on the side table. And again, Brother Tim's discourse will be followed right on the heels by our testimony, which will be led by Brother Rasulu. Brother Tim is going to serve us now with a discourse entitled Growing Up into Christ. Growing Up into Christ. Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and thank you, Brother Bob. And good afternoon, brother. It doesn't always have to be new things that we learn. Many times it's just to be reminded of those things that we already know. We basically know what it is to walk in the narrow way. It's just if we can practice doing those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father and that are upbuilding to ourselves. Growing up into Christ. What does it mean to grow up into Christ? Well, even the title is an indicator to grow up. It has an elevating effect. A developing, a maturing, reminds us of Hebrews 5:12, where it makes the comparison between those who are babes, who are being nourished on milk, and those who are growing up that need stronger milk, or stronger meat, strong meat to mature on. Our Christian walk is referred to a number of different ways. Sometimes it's spoken of as a walk in the narrow way of sacrifice. Sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we are sitting at his feet, learning of him. Sometimes it is likened to a school, the school of Christ. This is just the thought that Brother Russell expresses in reprint 2439, where he says, "This school of Christ may be considered a school of self-denial and self-sacrifice, prompted by love and maintained by devotion." Our great teacher and headmaster, our elder brother, whom the Father appointed to this position as instructor to those who would become his brethren, Romans 8:29, he himself was educated and graduated from this school under the Father's direction. We are informed in Hebrews 5:8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered." Brother Russell had mentioned this school is one of self-denial and self-sacrifice. We would like to turn to Matthew 16:24, for Jesus' words on this subject. Jesus had just rebuked the Apostle Peter with, "Get thee behind me, Satan," for Jesus had just spoken to his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priest and scribes, and to be killed and to be raised the third day. And the Apostle Peter's answer was not God's view, but man's view. And so Jesus spoke to him in that way. Then Jesus goes on in the 24th verse to speak about the kind of life that his followers would be leading. And we read, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." There's a manna text on July 21st, or reprint 26:15, whichever you get to first, that has a further lesson on these verses. The thought was given earlier that self-denial and sacrifice would be the life of the follower of Christ, and that it would be prompted by love. I thought the word prompted there was encouraging rather than prodded. You know, cattle get prodded. Christians get prompted. And when we look at that word prompt, It has the thought of to move or to urge into action or to inspire by suggestion or to provoke, as in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, which says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So we are prompted or reminded of the unsurpassing love of the Father and His Son, and our love for them, for calling us from darkness and inviting us to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then for us in turn to prompt or provoke our brethren unto love and good works, especially as we see the day. There definitely seems to be a sense of urgency here, does there not? And then we are to maintain that life of sacrifice. It is to be maintained by devotion. How devoted are we? Are we devoted to carrying out our covenant? Are we devoted to worshiping our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus? That has the thought of loyalty. To be devoted is to be loyal to, or setting apart, or consecration. Reprint 24:39, Brother Russell expresses another thought, where he says, "In joining the Lord through faith and consecration, we are not proclaiming ourselves graduates and heirs, but we are proclaiming ourselves students, disciples, who desire to be prepared to inherit the things which God hath in reservation for those that love Him." 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:11 reminds us that the just shall live by faith. And we all know that our faith in the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, as it grows and develops, will allow us to trust God increasingly with every detail of our life. We would like to suggest an outline, in a word, a one-word outline, that will help keep us directed towards the new creature's development. A handy reminder with 6 steps that will help direct us in the school of Christ. And the word is growth, G-R-O-W-T-H, G-R-O-W-T-H. This is a broad outline. There will be plenty of room for you to plug in other scriptures and reprints and thoughts that would be beneficial to you. You know, as we look about in conditions in the world today about us, we see that there are many allurements that entice us away from the narrow way. And so to be prepared to the best we can to go on each day to be pleasing to the Lord. Well, under that first letter, we would like to suggest, under G, go to God in prayer daily. We are encouraged to begin the day with prayer, to end the day with prayer, and to have the spaces in between, wherever we can, to have them filled with prayer. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you," was the promise. Sister Laura, you know Sister Laura Jacobson? Sister Laura, in the building that she lives in, has a monthly or weekly newsletter. And occasionally she'll bring something into the class and said, this is interesting. Well, recently she brought in a paper, and somebody had contributed it, and they put it on the newsletter. And it was very interesting. It's not unfamiliar to any of us. But what somebody had done was they had taken the armor of God and they had made it into a prayer to begin the day with. And they had just repeated each one of those pieces of the armor as they put it on and how it was going to benefit them and help them throughout the day. I thought it was very good. She said, "You think this is helpful?" I said, "Sure." But it's being reminded of doing that. How many times do we get up in the morning and we're rushed and we look at the clock and say, "I should have been up 20 minutes ago." But we can focus. And so I remember a brother one time saying that when he got in the car and on his way to work, he would spend the first few minutes listening to the news to see what was going on. And then he would spend the rest of the time on the way to work, just praying to the Lord, just talking to the Lord. So there are ways that we can do this. The second word, R, we'd like to suggest read and study the Word of God daily, especially not only the Word of God, but also the volumes, the reference material that we have been given, and especially where the volumes are not a part of our ecclesia study at any given time, they can be beneficial to us. You can see Brother Mark drew from Volume 4 in the last discourse, and some of us on it previously from 2nd and 3rd and 4th volume. So they're very important to us as we see things about us today taking place. The third letter is O, and we would suggest obey God's commands, and our goal would be moment by moment. In John, 1 John 2:5, we read, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected." Jesus illustrated perfection of obedience when he said, "I come to do thy will, O God." Everything written in the book, everything that was God's will at whatever cost. Only his great love for the Father permitted him to do this completely in the way that he did and moment by moment. Do we want to have the love of God perfected in us? Sure we do. Absolutely. The fourth letter, losing track here, is W. And for that we would like to suggest witness. Now a lot of thoughts might come to your mind under this term, but one thing we witness to God by our proper character development, how we are growing more Christ-like. And then also we are to witness the divine plan to as many as would have eyes to see or ears to hear. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" You know, there's many that are asking that same question today. What is truth? In reprint 2488, we read, "To make our studies of the divine plan as profitable as we should, as profitable as possible, we should spend as much time daily in dispensing the truth to others as we spend in seeking to feed ourselves." And Proverbs 11:25 addresses that also, where it says, "He that watereth shall be watered also himself." Now, it might not always be practical to spend as much time studying or as much time as dispensing the truth as we study, but if we have that thought in our mind, if it's always before us, then we will try to look for little ways. They don't have to be big ways. They can just be little ways of witnessing the truth to somebody else. The next letter is T. And this is for trust. Trust God with our lives. Came across the saying recently, said, "The more we depend on God, the more dependable we find he is." In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And then the final letter would be the letter H, and this would stand for Holy Spirit. To allow the Spirit of God to control and empower our daily lives. In Ephesians 1:19-20, we are told about the Holy Spirit of God that we have working for us. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." I don't know if we fully comprehend the degree of power, the degree of what it takes, what it took to elevate our Lord Jesus, not only from a death condition, but a changing of a nature and to seating him next to the Father. Whatever degree it is and whatever our understanding of it is, it has to be pretty awesome, and we have to understand that that's the power that we have working on behalf of us. We'd like to take the remaining time and just go into a little more detail on each one of these now that we have the outline in front of us. Daniel prayed three times a day with his windows open to Jerusalem, Daniel 6:10. Go to God in prayer daily. In the closing hours of Jesus' life and ministry, in his instructions to his disciples about the communication link between them and the Father, he said in John 14:13, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, we know there's many other scriptures along this line, but who wouldn't want their joy to be full? And Jesus saying, if we ask in his name, that we are going to receive. Of course, there's a lot of implication there, that we're asking properly and that we're asking for the right things, but nevertheless, the promise is there for us. Now, if we add to these instructions that Jesus gave, if we add to those Jesus' prayer in John 17, where he is not only praying for himself, but then again praying for his disciples, but then, yes, he goes on and he prays for us too, doesn't he? Who are coming to him through God by the words of the apostles. And then, of course, there's the caution that he gives to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when they could not watch with him. And he says, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Somebody else had mentioned how close we were to memorial yet, and those thoughts being fresh in our minds. To see the importance of faithfulness in prayer, Brother Russell, in an article, The Privilege and Power of Prayer, remarks that to the thoughtful, appreciative mind, one of the greatest privileges which the Word of God offers is that our personal audience and communion with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we consider how great is our God and how exalted is his station, how wonderful is the condescension that thus regards our low estate. And he goes on to describe the vast domain and qualities of God's character, which even widen that gap between God's position and ours and makes us stand even more in awe at the relationship that we have with him through Christ. Then we have the beautiful Psalm 139 that shows us that there is no place, no situation, no condition where we could be that God would not be there to hear our cry for assistance or our praise to him. Jesus does remind us, though, that there is only one way to God, and that is through him. No other way to the Father except through the Son. What are we to pray for? Well, one of the suggestions is Luke 11:13. We are encouraged to pray for the Holy Spirit. In reprint 4780, paragraph 2, we read, "If the Lord's consecrated people could be brought to the point where the chief aim in life, the burden of all their prayers, would be that they might have a larger measure of the Spirit of the Lord, what a blessing it would mean." Why would that be a blessing? I mean, I think we would agree with that, but why would that be a blessing? Well, if nothing else, we know that to receive a larger measure of the Holy Spirit indicates that we are endeavoring to be faithful with the measure that we have been given. So if this would be the heart's desire of each of the brethren, it would mean that we were being faithful with what we have. Somebody had mentioned being good stewards already, didn't they? And certainly this is one way that we can. In Hebrews 4:16, we read, "Let us therefore come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And what greater time do we have need of the application of this verse than when before the throne of grace seeking forgiveness for our failures and our shortcomings? We are always encouraged that occasionally from the podium when somebody is offering a prayer to open a meeting, study, that they will actually bring that to our attention and thank the Heavenly Father for forgiveness of sin. It's just another reminder that we have. And we are to pray for our brethren as well. Colossians 1, 9 through 12, just as a reference, but also Ephesians 6, 18 is one where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? For all the saints. And so we have that privilege and opportunity to pray for all the saints. In the 19th verse, Paul goes on to say, oh, don't forget about me. And he makes that personal request to the brethren that he might speak the words of truth that will be meaningful to his hearers. In reprint 2692, there's a list of four ways that we might benefit from a daily, consistent prayer life. The scripture, it's actually, I thought it was a manna text too. Maybe it's just a reprint. Anyway, the scripture associated with it is the one in John 1:17, where it points out the constancy of God, where there is no variableness nor shadow cast by turning. God is constant, and of course, we want to learn to develop that constancy as well. It is a manna. I didn't look far enough ahead. July 24th. And the scripture there is James 5:16, where it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we just like to read through these four points because you're probably familiar with them as well. You know, the nice thing about manna text and where they can give us lessons is that if we don't have time to look up the reprint, we can. It's a lot handier to grab our manna book, isn't it, and to go to those. And then, of course, at least once a year, we go through those whether we want to or not. Well, that's it. We go through them regardless, don't we, as we're going through our daily devotions. First one is prayer increases confidence in the Lord's supervision of our affairs. Doesn't it? The second one would be prayer increases faith in the precious promises. What are we to do with the precious promises? We're to claim them before the Heavenly Father and before our brethren. That means we have to look them up. We have to find them. We have to know what they are to be able to claim them. But the design of those precious promises are to lead us or bring us to the divine nature. It shows their importance. Prayer increases a realization of His leadings, past and present. And the fourth one, prayer increases love for all the brethren of Christ and thus an increased solicitude for their welfare and spiritual progress. You know, if you're thinking about brethren, if you're praying for brethren, we're going to be looking into how they're doing, aren't we? And going to the throne of grace on behalf of them. There is another reference, reprint 4983, and there's six additional points there that you might find helpful. There is no manna text for that one, so you'll have to go to the reprint 4983. The next letter that we would consider in a little more detail is the letter R, and this is read the Word of God daily. We're all familiar with Acts 17:11 that talks about the Bereans who were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. And it was the constant effort of the apostles to show that the gospel which they proclaimed was the very same gospel expressed by the ancient prophets. In 1 Peter 1:10-12, we're going to just read the 12th verse here, says, unto whom it was declared that not unto themselves, but unto us, the body of Christ, they did minister the things now reported unto you by them, the apostles, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. It was that same gospel through which Jesus brought light and immortality to light. Paul, in another place, said, I show you a mystery. You know, there's mysteries being taught today. that are really not mysteries, except they're made to be mysteries because they don't want to acknowledge the correct answer for them. But Paul says, I show you a mystery. And so he opened up those mysteries to us. As the brethren of old were faithful in reading and studying, so we too, dear friends, want to be faithful. As 2 Timothy 2:15 encourages us, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now we all know that we are leaky vessels, and we need to keep replenished, or we will grow weak and frail. You know, we forget, or we remember only partially, and so we need to make a determined effort to keep in review God's Word, the inspired Word of God, the volumes that helped us to understand the plan of the ages, and all of His instruction to us. Just think about some of the doctrines were mentioned earlier today that and under the divine plan of the ages and how blessed that we are to know, have the understanding of the ransom and the sin offering, the two salvations, the kingdom promises, and God's promise to the nation of Israel. Where is the barometer for what's happening in the world today? Isn't it over in the Middle East? Or is this the Middle East? Wherever the East is. Over in the East, where Israel is. And we look at what's happening over there. And so in reprint 2662, Brother Russell talks about Bible reading is indispensable. And then in reprint 2488, how much time should be spent? Well, he goes through a number of different things leading up to the final point here. But final point is every reasonable opportunity should be used by the Lord's people to obtain a knowledge of the divine plan, even to the extent of sacrifice. So that goes along with Matthew 24:16, doesn't it? That part of our sacrifice then might very well be taking time from something else to be able to put time into studying God's word. The next letter is O, for obedience. In John 14:21, we read, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There were two parts to that, weren't there? He that hath my commandments and he that keepeth my commandments. And notice also that it was plural. It was commandments. It wasn't the commandment that Jesus had just given to them, where he said, this new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, although certainly that would be included in it. But Brother Russell suggested it would include the general teachings of Jesus as they bear on all the affairs of life. And if we add to Jesus' inspired words those of the apostles and prophets, we will have the divine will not only expressed to us, but also explained to us, as well as illustrated to us, and also enforced line upon line and precept upon precept. Brother Russell remarks in reprint 1802 that it is not enough to simply resolve or determine to do right or to obey God. Unless we go further and actually make advancement in character, we will prove failures. God doesn't want us to fail. Jesus does not want us to fail. And we don't want to fail. And so we emphasize those thoughts that not only do we have the commandments, but we put forth the effort that is needed to keep those commandments. There's a definition of insanity today. It says something like this: doing the same things over and over again and expecting change to take place. It doesn't work, brother. I've tried that. It doesn't work. I can let you know. To help encourage that change, the Father has promised loving discipline and chastisement to fit us for future service and to demonstrate our worthiness of being counted in as members of the body of Christ. and that's in Hebrews 12, 6 through 11, is one of those sets of scriptures. We're not going to go to those now, but leave them for you to read. The Apostle Peter addresses our obedience to God in 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15, where he says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." The fashioning is not that of fashioning the will to God's will, for that has already been given over to him. But rather, this involves the transforming of the mind, as the Apostle Paul speaks to us in Romans 12, 2. Holiness is the standard of perfection, without which we cannot see God. To obtain that condition perfectly, this side of the veil, we know is not possible. But as an evidence of our progress in the school of Christ, we can manifest that heart condition to the Lord as we put off those things of the world and the fruitage of the unholy spirit, and that as we strive more diligently to put on those fruitages of the Holy Spirit, the fruits and graces found in Galatians 5:22 and other places. We heard a very wonderful talk last weekend at Delaware Valley Convention by Brother David Stein on holiness, sanctification. And Brother August was there too, so if you'd like to hear that, see Brother August. He can make it happen for you. Dear brethren, let us strive more diligently to obey the Heavenly Father from moment to moment. We know that that's a big goal, that Jesus was able to, but we should strive. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, to bring every thought captivity unto Christ. As we go on to the letter W for witness, we ask, what are we to witness? In John 18:37, Jesus' words should find a place in our hearts when he speaks, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." In reprint 2470, we read, "It was our Lord's faithfulness to the truth that brought upon him the opposition of those who would who were blinded by the adversary. It was his witness to the truth that cost him his life, and it was the giving of his life in defense of the truth that constituted our redemption price. We, as his followers, are also to bear witness to the truth. What truth are we to bear witness to? Well, certainly God's character, as we learn about that and appreciate it more and more, and certainly God's plan in its many faceted, glorious pieces. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9 that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful scripture. We're not listing things as far as how to witness. I think that's another thing that we already know about. We know how to do those things. We can be reminded of something, maybe some new way that somebody has come up with a special business card, something like that. But we know about those things, so it's just a matter of being reminded to accomplish them. The very object of our being called into this light is that we may let it shine. If we do not let it shine, are we worthy of it? And if we're not worthy of it, then the treasure will be taken away from us, and that we would be left in darkness as well. We have received the light and have consecrated our lives fully to God. Let us ask ourselves, what am I doing to show forth the praises of him who has called me out of darkness? Moving along to the letter T, we must learn to trust God for every detail of our life. What is it to trust? The word trust means literally a firmness, the firm belief or confidence in the honesty, integrity, reliability, and justice of another person. Hence, faith or reliance. The Apostle Peter encourages us to trust God by casting all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. He careth for us. Jesus in John 16, I don't have the verse there, the 16th chapter of John, we are reminded by Jesus that even the Father himself loveth you. While these are very consoling and encouraging words to us, we learn also, as we progress in the school of Christ, not to ask God to guide us according to our wisdom or to request our wills to be done, but unburdening ourselves of the trials, the small ones as well as the greater ones, and taking to ourselves his sympathy and his love, which he always has available for us, and applying to our own heart the consoling assurances of his word, realizing that he is both able and willing to make all of our experiences profitable for the new creature. If we abide in him with confidence and trust, remembering the words of our hymn, "Trust and Obey," absolutely, there is no other way. And our final letter, it came along just in time, didn't it? Letter H, for the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says, where Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you until day after tomorrow." No, that he may abide with you forever. Aren't we glad that we understand God's Holy Spirit to be a power and not a person? One of the most rewarding scriptures concerning God's Holy Spirit is found in Romans 8:14-16. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And 16th verse, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Through following God's word, we have been led through the process of becoming God's children. Being begotten of the divine nature by God's Spirit, his power. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3:2, "Now are we the sons of God. Well, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." But the important thought that there is, now are we the children of God. Well, dear brethren, we hope that this little outline has been helpful. As we think about those things, go to God in prayer, read and study his word, obey his commands, witness the truth near and far, trust God with our very life, and use the measure of God's Spirit that has been given as we pray for an additional measure. And we are reminded of the reprint 3199. This was just, what's today, the 5th? This was just the 2nd. And this is really kind of a nice sum up. It says, "To be really in the Lord's service involves, first, the careful and continued study of God's plan. Second, the imbibing of its spirit, leading, thirdly, to an enthusiastic zeal for its accomplishment, and to the activity, to the extent of ability in its service, at whatever cost or sacrifice it may require." May the Lord bless us as we each one strive to be more faithful.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for sharing the thoughts from your studies and growing up into Christ and Christian growth. We are going to sing now verses 3, 4, and 5 of Appendix O. If you're able and you'd like to rise on the fifth verse, perhaps to stretch out a little bit, prepare yourself for the remainder of the day in the testimony meeting. I think that would be nice. Verses 3, 4, and 5, Appendix O, rising on the fifth verse, if you are able. And then Brother Tim will then close this session with prayer and then ask a blessing on the testimony meeting to follow.